In today's episode, World War III in your investments. Enjoy. Welcome to The Age of Jeremy. My name is Jeremy Quintanilla. I am the founder and CEO of Q Consolidated Limited. We focus on investing and creating businesses in media and entertainment, finance, investing in insurance, education, and e-learning, art, music, and the humanities, earth and human sustainability and advancement, and earth and space exploration and transportation. Our current businesses include 3T Warrior Academy, Q Financial, Age of Radio, and Merlin, to name a few. You can find me on all socials at Age of Jeremy, except on X, it's at Age of Jeremy Q, and on Facebook, it is Cesar Jeremy Quintanilla. You can also find me on YouTube at Age of Jeremy. You can also find our Age of Radio YouTube channel at Age of Radioverse, where you can get all of our amazing podcasts from the Age of Radio Network family. There are links to all of this in the episode description below. So go nuts, clicking on all the buttons. If you're new to this podcast, this is all of the trials and tribulations that I go through to build my business empire, and I hope you pick up some wisdom along the way. I also have guests that share their trials and tribulations becoming content creators and the adventures that they have gone through to become entrepreneurs. So make sure that you subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss out on all of the amazing episodes and all the amazing content and all of the amazing interviews and guests. At Q Financial, we are really focused on helping individuals learn financial literacy and financial education. There is a form in the episode description if you would like to sit down with me for a 30-minute consultation. We can go over what you have going on as it relates to taxes, as it relates to how you're protecting your assets, protecting your wealth. If you have a business and you'd like to talk about bookkeeping or things to help move your business forward, you can also fill out the form. Q Financial is a financial services business, and we are working to create helping our clients create long-lasting wealth for multiple generations. So go ahead and click on that link, fill out the form. We will reach out to you to set up a 30-minute free consultation with myself to go over what you have going on. All right, let's get into today's episode. The assassination of Archduke Ferdinand was usually what we're taught in history class that catapulted the world into war for World War I. But if we look at what actually else was going on in the world, there was all kinds of other things that helped lead up to a world skirmish or a world war. There was the Franco-Russian alliance in 1894. There was the first German naval law that took place in 1898. There was the Russo-Japanese war, or Russo-Japanese war. I'm assuming it's Russo. So I apologize. Austrian-Hungary's annexation of Bosnia and Herzegovina in 1908. Or 1908. There was the second Moroccan crisis in 1911, and Italy invaded Libya in 1911. The Balkan Wars took place between 1912 and 1913. And then, of course, the assassination of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand in 1914. But a lot of those things that I had mentioned before were things that happened in previous years up to the assassination of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand. And so the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we need to take a good look at our what's going on in the different types of world crises around the world. So a lot of people, especially a lot of social media people, they talk a lot about how we're going to be switching to a different financial system over, you know, because of cryptocurrency, and there's going to be things that catapult us into that. And so the reason why I'm bringing up World War I and these things happening is because if we look around the world today, there are all kinds of things that are going on in different places that could mean that we're leading up into a larger world skirmish, especially with what happened over this last weekend. And the reason why I am talking about this in relations to finances for a couple of reasons. One, if we do believe that the financial institution as a whole is going to be changing and there is going to be another currency that's going to be coming into power besides the United States currency, we have to look at how the United States currency kind of became powerful of itself, which happened after World War II. So a lot of the times after there is a world war, a large superpower can come out of it. And so I'm not saying that people are kind of forcing us into war. I'm saying that this is a result of war specifically. And the United States came out on top after World War II because of the fact that we became the world currency and a world power, a very large world power after World War II. And so it is very important that we, without going too much into history, get an idea of how important it is for us to read and understand what is going on in the world around us. And the thing that I hear a lot is that people do not watch the media. They don't read the newspaper because it's all lies. It's all propaganda. And while there is a lot of propaganda in it, I don't believe that one, it's all lies. Two, it's very good for you to know what's going on in the world around you so you can make assessments, especially investment assessments, on what to do with your money or what might happen if a world war takes place. And then the other problem with the news piece, without going too much on a rant, is that a lot of people then get their news from other sources that may or may not be as reliable as the mainstream media, which may or may not also be reliable. So it's really important that we as individuals read as much media as we can, do our due diligence to understand what is going on in the world, and making sure that what we're reading is accurate as best we can. And that doesn't mean that you need to spend every waking hour reading media, but it means that looking at pieces, especially like magazines or newspapers, or in my opinion, are better places to get your news from, because you can sit down, read and digest what is being said inside of the newspaper, look at where it was coming from, what sources that it came from, and then you can make a really strong assessment about how to take that information in and to decide whether or not it is true or not. And that's why it's important to read newspapers. I subscribe to the Arizona Central. I subscribe to Wall Street Journal. I need to renew my Financial Times online. And I do all these on my iPad. I like reading it on my iPad. I can save the articles, things of that nature. And then I get the art newspaper. So Wall Street Journal. Oh, and The Economist is a big one. And I subscribe to Bloomberg. And so I recommend that you subscribe to all of those as best as possible, so you know what is going on in the world around you. And if you have been keeping up with that, you know that over the weekend, we had a big incident that happened with Iran and them launching drone attacks on Israel directly, which is, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm trying to grab the article here, which I'm not mistaken, is the first ever direct assault on the Jewish state. And so the reason why the attack happened was the Iranian action was in response to a April 1st strike on an Iranian diplomatic building in Damascus, Syria. During that strike, a senior figure in Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards and eight other officers were killed. So the nature of the attack was that Iran was trying to put onto Israel was there were drones and cruise missiles. So Iran deployed dozens of drones and cruise missiles towards Israel, and the attack targeted several locations, including the commercial capital of Tel Aviv, the disputed city of Jerusalem, and Dimona, home to Israel's nuclear plant, which I would imagine could have caused a nuclear situation. Israel reported minor damages from the strikes, with missiles causing only slight harm to the infrastructure because of interception and assistance. So if we look at the interception, most of the missiles launched by Iran were intercepted outside of Israel's borders, thanks because to the United States and the United Kingdom's involvement. So the U.S., the United States, and the United Kingdom assisted Israel in shooting down Iranian drones over Jordan, Iraq, and Syria to prevent further escalation. And then obviously Joe Biden came out, he cut his weekend stay, I don't know where he was staying, and returned to the White House to monitor the situation. I feel like white presidents should be more in the White House than some of our presidents have been in the past, including Joe Biden, especially when our world is in this disarray. The incident underscores escalating tensions in the region and highlights the significance of drone warfare in modern conflicts. And so two things can be taken from this. One is this is something where the United States directly intervene in this situation, which when that traditionally happens, then Iran is going to probably take offense to the United States. And that's going to pull us more and more into a conflict, not only with Iran, but also more into this conflict between Israel and Gaza, or Israel and Hamas on the Gaza Strip. And so this is important because this is one of those things when we look at what else is going on in the world, how we are leading ourselves up into another world war situation. And so I think that it's really important because world wars and conflicts can not only affect us from a war perspective, right, of people dying, of the infrastructure being torn apart, hopefully nothing coming onto our territory, specifically in the United States. But in the event that we do go to a world war, there is much better technology than there has been in the previous two world wars. So we're going to be playing a different type of war this time around. So this is one major conflict, but if we can remember, there's another major conflict that's going on right now in the world as well, and that is the Ukrainian war that is going on with Ukrainians. So the Russo-Ukrainian war, so Russian and Ukraine, are obviously continuing to have their war, and those tensions remain high because of that specific war. So that's one war that's going on, along with the war that is happening between Israel and Hamas, which Iran is now becoming a part of. But if people don't know, Myanmar is also having a civil war. So this civil war has been going on, I want to say, since last year, and it is a civil war. There's been cumulative fatalities that have reached 180 plus thousand, with 15,707 deaths reported in 2023 and 4,154 in 2024. And so I don't know if that's an accurate 180,000 plus. So that someone might see, this is how bad information happens, because I'm going to say something, you're going to take that as word, you need to go and research that. But according to Microsoft, 15,773 deaths have taken place in 2023 and 4,155. And this is coming from a Wikipedia article on ongoing armed conflicts with the Myanmar civil war. The other conflicts that are going on is the Taiwan Strait. There is a geopolitical standoff between China and Taiwan. And if I remember correctly, China has actually started going into upping their military training. They have started mobilizing their military. And the thought process is they're going to go and try to take back Taiwan, or what they think is theirs already. They've always thought that Taiwan belongs to them. Taiwan doesn't think that they belong to them. And so this would kind of get it really back under control of China. And so that's a big problem. There is also the situation that's going on in Ecuador, where the Ecuadorian previous vice president, who was corrupt, the police broke into the Mexican embassy that is in Ecuador. They took back the president that was there, and he was recently hospitalized. And then we also have the situation with the conflict that's going on in Argentina as well. And so when we look at all of these, and I said Argentina, but I really meant Venezuela. So there is unrest that's going on in Venezuela as well. And so as more and more of these tensions continue, the more likely it is that the United States and in the United Nations may or may not continuously get involved in these situations along with the United Kingdom. And so if these pathways still happen, this is kind of like that same situation that I was putting at the beginning of this about World War One, that there are a lot of other factors that are going on in the world. And that's why it's important to be aware of foreign or international news, so that we can look at that and see where we are specifically headed. Because if we can assess that we will be going into a type A world war situation or world skirmish, there are better things that we can do for our investments. One, and then two, which I'm not going to go into this podcast here, but there are things that we can do to prep us and our families for those types of instances happening, or some type of nuclear or economic downfall event, which again, this is not about that specifically, but that's the reason why it's important to know, because my goal is hopefully educate people enough to push them to go and read more news and read more and watch more news, or documentary news, or look at news in a different way than saying, I don't want to watch that because it's shitty and it makes me feel bad, where it is shitty and it may make you feel bad, but you can control how you feel, and knowing is better because we can make better assessments. We'll be right back after these messages. All right. So the reason why I'm trying to get people to kind of look at this is so that the idea is that we know what's going on in the world around us. We can make better assessments about the investments that we are moving forward with. And so it's good idea to understand how global tensions can have an impact on financial markets here and across the world. So increased global tensions can have an impact on the financial markets, especially as it relates to a few of the things that I'm going to talk about. One is geopolitical tensions. So rising geopolitical tensions can lead to financial instability by triggering cross-border capital outflows and increased uncertainty. So this can threaten macro financial stability by affecting cross-border investments, international payment systems, and asset prices. So for example, if for some reason we end up going into a world war with China, or China ends up being on the other side of a world skirmish, then that's going to affect a lot of our cash outflows and capital investments here and out inside the United States, which is going to hurt the economy. One of the other things is financial fragmentation. So geopolitical conflicts can contribute to financial fragmentation, which has important implications for the stability of the financial markets. It can increase bank funds costs, lower their profitability, and reduce their lending to the private sector. And if that happens and there is reduced lending to the private sector, then our economy will take a hit. And when those types of hits happen, we can think of things that happen in two recessions, or like with the Great Depression, which is a year longer recession, if I'm not mistaken, off the top of my head. And so when that happens, when those two big things happen with those types of capital inflows and capital outflows and investment inflows and investment outflows, those can take a pretty hard hit for consumers, and the economy will drastically slow down, especially with the countries that are involved in those skirmishes, or countries that oppose the countries that are involved with those skirmishes. And so when this also happens, there becomes some investment sensitivity. So investment funds are particularly sensitive to these types of geopolitical tensions. And when they reduce cross-border allocations, notably countries with a diverging foreign policy outlook, then we can't take the benefit of investing in those other countries or in those other countries' companies. While those companies may do really, really well during the war, we wouldn't be able to invest in them because we are not allowed to invest in those types of things. And that will change the makeup and the way in which we can buy and sell foreign companies based off of where those foreign companies are located in our current financial markets. The imposition of financial restrictions and the escalation of tensions, again, could increase banks' debt rollover risks and funding costs. This could also drive up interest rates on government bonds, reducing the value of banks' assets and adding to their funding costs. So really, when these things happen, it takes a really big hit on on the countries that are involved in the skirmishes or on the opposite side of the skirmishes in their financial markets. And that can tend to obviously hurt the entire economy and hurt you as a consumer. And that's why it's really important, is I'm going to give some things that we can do to help us with that. A lot of it has to do with saving up cash, having gold on hand, but I'll talk about that in a minute. And so the longer term implications, in the longer run, greater financial fragmentation stemming from geopolitical tensions could roll capital flows and key economic and financial market indicators by limiting the possibilities for international risk diversification. So we lose that risk diversification in the markets as a whole. But that being said, however, when we had our during World War II, however, during World War II, the Dow Jones Industrial Average actually increased by a total of 50%, averaging more than 7% per year over that time period. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it will have a huge, huge impact, but there will be a really big slowdown. And there is a possibility, like I said, that if the U.S. specifically gets involved with that, it will really hurt the U.S. economy, or at least the individuals inside of the U.S. economy, which are the me's and you's, which is the people that I care about and want to help. And so one of the things to think about is, because of this uncertainty, when there is an outbreak or an anticipation of war, and the more that we lead up to an anticipation of war, most financial investors or people that have been around in a while in this, and there might be a little difference on this, because traditionally what should happen is people will pull their money from the stocks market, right? They'll put that money more into currencies that are perceived as safe havens. So that could be in the US dollar. It could be in another currency that is an ally of ours that you could actually have that currency or move your money to that currency. And then two of the biggest things are going to be gold and bonds. One of the things that we're uncertain though of is how the crypto markets are going to react to this, because the crypto market is in and of itself an international market. So that may not be completely hurt by it in the fact of what is actually happening. It might take a lagging time period for the cryptocurrencies to be hurt by it, to take all those economies that are a part of the recession or as part of the skirmish or the world war to fall and go into a recession. So what will probably happen is the stock market will be the first thing to come down, because most people are going to go to gold, bonds, and then other paper currencies or other safe haven assets. Okay. And so if that specifically happens, my guess is the crypto market will not take that much of a hit until we start. It'll hit more on the tail end of it, because people will stop investing in the cryptocurrencies as soon as they themselves are in a specific problem. Now, some people might just pull all their money out of cryptocurrencies to put it into gold and bonds and whatever. Other people, like the crypto bros and the crypto gals of the world, might just keep putting it in there, and they will only be hurt by it once a recession happens and they have to pull money out of that market to live or whatever the case is. And so that's why I'm saying it might not happen until the tail end of it, because of the fact that the sentiment around it is high and it is an international market. But what I do believe would happen is that the stock market would fall first. And so that's why it's super, super important to think about this, keep an eye on it, and have a really good diversification of your assets in gold, in bonds, okay? And I'll tell you about the allocation here in a minute, but in gold and in bonds and in cash, so that you can withstand some of these downturns that are going to happen as we possibly go into a world war type of skirmish. As far as allocation goes, and again, this is what I'm kind of more focusing on as of right now, thinking that we're going to go into a war. It doesn't mean that I'm going to go directly to these percentages with my holdings. I'm just going to start putting more of my money into more of these safer things. But at the end of the day, if we look at your portfolio, you should have percentages. So you should know what percent of your portfolio is in stocks, bonds, cash, precious metals, and cryptocurrencies. And then within each of those classes, you would have a portfolio of those asset classes. Okay. And so if we were to do this, I would say that a very safe place to be as we go into war would be 18% of your money into stocks, 24% of your money into bonds, 33% of your money into cash, 13% of your money into precious metals, and 10% into cryptocurrency. And the three safest currencies traditionally for their holding of value is traditionally the US. If you think the US economy is going to come out very shit at this, I wouldn't put the money into that, but maybe the Swiss franc or into the Japanese yen. And so while I'm fine with my stock portfolio where it's at, I'm going to keep putting some money into stocks, but more of my money is going to get my cryptocurrency bag up to more of 10% of my overall portfolio, my precious metals closer to 13% of my overall portfolio, and then diversifying in specifically paper cash or cash that I can have in hand. The other thing too is I did a TikTok about precious metals, having part of your precious metals built out in junk silver. It's really good for barterability in case there is a situation where we need to barter. And I use AppMex to get, again, my reoccurring gold and silver and all of those buys sent directly to me. And so the point is that you don't have to go and sell everything to make this portfolio. The point is that if you look at this, and I'm saying that only 18% of your money should be in stocks, and you are really highly overweighted into stocks, then as you start investing more into your portfolio, put that money into these other things, or more of your money into these other things. So like for me, my three biggest ones that I'm doing is more money into crypto, more money into precious metals, and more money into cash. So my stocks and bonds, I'm completely fine with where I'm at with that. Maybe a little bit more into bonds, but I'm traditionally trying to get more physical cash. And when I say get the cash, you could do something like a foreign exchange. But if you think that the financial system is going to be disrupted during that, maybe get physical currency in-house. One of the things that I'm working on doing is getting the currencies for the places that are on North America. If I need to change from where I'm at in Arizona for whatever reason, go to Canada, make sure that you have Canadian dollars on hand. If you end up going to Greenland, I've been obsessed with Greenland, make sure that you have the Danish krona on hand, maybe have some pesos on hand if you need to go into Mexico. And again, I'm not trying to be a doomsdayer. While I am a big fan of Fallout and I'm really enjoying watching the Fallout show, these are things that could specifically happen because we don't know. And the more that technology technology gets more advanced, the more that we may lose control of a situation, or the more that we move into nuclear power, the more we may lose control of a situation. So there's never a, there shouldn't be anything wrong with always erring on the safe side. So again, it's not saying that you should go and go balls to the wall and sell all of your stuff and put all of, you know, put all of your money into cash and bonds and precious metals. What I'm saying is have an idea of what the weight of your portfolio is and start moving more as you invest more on a regular basis, put that into other areas to start building some of that diversification. And that will help as we move into war skirmishes. So I appreciate you. If you have questions in regards to any of this, hit me up on Snapchat at Age of Jeremy, reach out to me on Instagram. I'd be more than happy to take any questions. And as I always say, be thankful, grateful, and kind, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning into The Age of Jeremy. If you like this podcast, make sure that you like it in your podcast app that you use. Subscribe to it in the podcast app that you were listening to this on and share it with a friend so we can get it in front of more and more people. I recorded this into a Neumann microphone on my Zoom L8 utilizing Steinberg's Cubase and Waves plugins. The opening song was Brave Faces Everyone by Spanish Love Songs, and the closing song was Threatening Each Other, Recapitalism by Illuminati Hotties. And as I always say, be thankful, grateful, and kind, and we will talk with you next time. Bye.